Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Six minutes after the hour. Good evening. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. This is Overnight America. The number here is the same, though. 800-925-1120. Or if you're here in St. Louis, 314-436-7900. Looking at the news wires. And here's what the top story is. It says the White House is slamming testimony from former U.S. Ambassador William Taylor as part of the House impeachment inquiry, calling it triple hearsay. And the White House is insisting that President Donald Trump has done nothing wrong. Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham released a statement Tuesday after Taylor told lawmakers that Trump had made clear that military aid to Ukraine hinged on the country's president publicly saying that he was opening an investigation into a company linked to Joe Biden and the 2016 election. Man, that's a mouthful. I think there's like two sentences in there. So come on, AP, let's fix your writing just a little bit. I'm joined now by Adam Mill. He is from the website American Greatness. Do I have him on there? Okay. Hey, Adam, thanks for the time today. Now, there's been no shortage of obviously accusations against the president, but there's a couple things. First of all, if there really was this, we're not giving you military aid unless you do this investigation against my rivals, I guess that's one thing. We can have a conversation about whether we need to be given the military aid in the first place. That's a whole other conversation. But we've got now reports of just gasps, and people can't believe that this is what was said from an ambassador who has firsthand account. What do you make of all the news that came out today?
Well, first of all, Mike, thank you so much for having me on here. It's an honor. You know, I guess you raise a question, and I think that's an important question, which is, would it ever be okay for the president to say to another country, hey, you're not getting your aid until you cooperate with this criminal investigation? And I think the answer hinges on another question, which is it a matter of legitimate public interest to look into what was going on with that phone call that Vice President at the time, Biden, made to Ukraine saying, you're not getting aid unless you drop this prosecutor. If Biden was trying to protect his son, if he was abusing his position and conditioning aid to protect his son's company, that is a matter of legitimate public inquiry. And it is totally appropriate if the president were to say, I expect Ukraine to cooperate with that investigation, with the investigation of the Ukraine's involvement in the Russia collusion hoax. There's this whole angle that people have overlooked involving a black book, a black ledger that was created in the Ukraine to try and frame Manafort. And it was so obviously phony that the numbers didn't match up with available banking records that the Mueller team ended up dropping it. So, I personally have had a problem with people saying no quid pro quo, no quid pro quo. My position is, what if there was? You know, if it's a legitimate matter of inquiry, of law enforcement inquiry, to find out what Biden was doing in getting that prosecutor dropped, then yes, the president should have looked into it. And I have no problem with him withholding aid until that question was answered.
The argument being, yeah, but that was years ago. And now it's about politics. The president's going after a potential competitor in the general election. And they're saying that's the argument, at least, Adam, is that's what's different here, is that President Trump, you know, Biden's not vice president anymore. He can't do anything like that. That was in the past. Now it's all about the campaign up in 2020. And that's what people are saying. He's looking for dirt on a political rival.
Well, I guess my answer would be that, do people who happen to be running against Donald Trump have some kind of criminal immunity that I'm not aware of? I mean, has Congress passed some law saying that Democrats can't be investigated? I guess my concern here is, Hillary Clinton didn't get investigated for, what was going on with the State Department, which is way beyond the question of the emails. That was slow walked. And this question of how the whole Russia collusion thing, that is an active, ongoing investigation. The Attorney General has announced that he has interest in it. The Attorney General asked President Trump, hey, can you introduce me to some of these foreign leaders? He asked with Ukraine. He asked with Australia. That is appropriate protocol, that the Attorney General would go to the elected president to say, hey, before I start rooting around in Ukraine to ask these questions, can you make an introduction and ask them to cooperate with me? That's what Donald Trump did. That's exactly what happened. And that is an appropriate criminal investigation into the malfeasance that led up to the 2016, the Russia collusion hoax, and also this thing with Hunter Biden. Now, yes, it does turn out that Biden was a political opponent of Trump, but that doesn't operate as an immunity, which I think is what really the Democrats are pushing for here.
Yeah, we're visiting with Adam Mill from American Greatness, and we'll give out that website here in just a couple of minutes, Adam. But I guess with the entire impeachment situation, I don't know how else to say it, if the votes are there, and I would not be surprised if the votes are there in the House of Representatives right now to impeach the president, so why won't Speaker Pelosi go ahead and pull the trigger? Or is this a matter of she just simply wants the accusations hanging over the entire political process through the election?
I mean, that's a really good question. I think they've had the votes since the new Congress was sworn in back in the beginning of the year this year. Since they took the majority, they've made it very clear that their objective is to impeach the president. And even go back before that, even before the president took the oath of office, they said that was their intention. So, what is their goal? I mean, it's clearly they're going to have a tough time in the Senate, the trial of the Senate, prevailing there. And I guess the answer is, I don't know. I mean, some people have said that what's really going on here is they're trying to create, cover for these revelations that are coming out. The FISA court just issued an opinion slamming the FBI for misuse of the NSA's database. We're expecting an IG report on FISA court abuse. And I don't know if your listeners are aware, but the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act authorized the government to collect data, just do wholesale collection of data, phone records, emails, that kind of thing. That can only be searched either if there's an exception, if you're searching a non-U.S. citizen, or if there's a warrant. And there have been a number of very disturbing revelations that have been coming out in the last few weeks. So there have been some people who have said, hey, you notice how this initiated with the intelligence community? It was a whistleblower from the CIA who's blowing the whistle on this. And that seems to be in the news now when, we have these other revelations coming out. But in answer to your question, I don't really understand what the Democrat strategy is. It's a good question.
Yeah, because it when Bill Clinton was impeached, it kind of blew up in the Republicans' faces. And I actually used to work for Bob Barr, who was the House impeachment manager against Bill Clinton. He was my boss shortly after his time in Congress. And so he told me, he said, yeah, we kind of knew that we were walking into a landmine. They just felt they had to do it, but they did it as quickly as they could at the time. And President Clinton obviously survived the impeachment. I don't think there's any way President Trump is removed from office. But if that happens, at least in the middle part of the country, I think that hurts the Democrats in a lot of districts. There's one in Kansas that has a Democrat in the Kansas City area. I think it puts her in a terrible spot. I think there are some purple districts that just don't go well, because if an impeachment vote is taken, every single U.S. House race, in fact, maybe even statewide races, become about whether or not the impeachment process was abused, and they become about President Trump. And I don't know that the Democrats want a lot of purple districts having that in comparison with whoever it is they're going to nominate.
I think that's a great insight. And I will say, I've got a piece coming out in a couple of days about how Democrats are backing away from the way Adam Schiff is handling this process. And there have been some very interesting comparisons to how Nixon was impeached, or how the impeachment inquiry was initiated with Nixon and also with Bill Clinton. The president's attorney in both those cases was allowed to participate. They were allowed to see the evidence as it unfolded. there was equal access to the evidence for both sides, and all that's been thrown out the window for the way Schiff is doing it. And I think that you're right that the voters are not going to have a lot of confidence in a process that doesn't give, you know, both sides equal access to the evidence as it unfolds.
All right, Adam Mill from American Greatness, a lot of op-ed writing there. What's the website?
So I write for American Greatness, and I also write for The Federalist, and they're both online. If you Google either of those names, they'll come right up.
All right, Adam, appreciate the phone call, or I appreciate you calling in. Give us the time today.
Thank you so much. Anytime, it was an honor.
Thanks so much. All right, and still ahead here, I just found a news article that I guess came out just a little bit ago. Remember Amber Geiger, the police officer in Dallas who walked into the wrong apartment and took a man's life, a completely innocent man's life. She was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Her lawyers say, we're appealing that conviction. I've got the details just ahead. Love to get your thoughts on that. 800-925-1120. I know I've got some strong thoughts on it. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Minutes after the hour. Kind of funky there, Mike. Got a couple mics in the studio. My name is Mike Ferguson. 800-925-1120 or 314-436-7900. Here in just a few minutes, got an update for you on that case. Such emotional case, I think, that gripped everybody on a very personal level. Amber Geiger, the former Dallas police officer who murdered a guy. It was a mistake. I have no problem believing it was a complete mistake, but now her lawyers are saying, we're going to appeal. I've got the details for you. I don't know what she's going to appeal. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Let's see here. Ellen, looks like you got a comment on that story we're talking about a little bit ago regarding the transgender boy. Well, not the mother wants him to be a transgender boy. If you're just joining us, if you haven't heard it, there was a shocking ruling in a courtroom in Texas where a divorced, not couple anymore, but a father and mother are arguing over whether or not the mother can transition their son into living like a girl, even chemically. He's 7. And the court ruled, jury, 11 out of 12 jurors actually sided with the mom on this. Ellen, what do you think?
Well, I think we're living in an era of ridiculousness all the way around, but this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. We don't let our kids vote until they're 18. We don't let them buy alcohol until they're 21. They're not considered a major as opposed to a minor until they're 18 when they can buy a house or a car, but we can allow them to decide what sex they want to be and to experience a sex change is totally absurd.
That's a great point, Ellen, because we say you're not mature enough, you're not of age, you're not to be trusted with these decisions.
They don't know what they want. They're
right.
Too young.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier when we had somebody else call in who agreed, you know, who said, hey, if 11 out of 12 jurors say that the mother should be able to do this, then they clearly saw evidence that we didn't see and there must be something to it. And I understand a jury going against custody for one parent or custody arrangements or whatever the case is, but this was about whether or not the mother could dictate that the boy was being quote-unquote transitioned. I mean, I am personally of the belief that you can inject him with whatever chemicals you want. You can put whatever clothes you want on him, but he's still a boy. He's just going to be a really, really confused boy who's not really being allowed to make up his own mind on this.
Well, yes, he's a child, and, you know, there's a reason we have children and the reason that we have adults. It's because adults are the responsible people. They have experience. They have wisdom. And adults need to be making decisions for children. This is just so out in left field. I don't even know what to think about. It's very upsetting.
Ellen, I got to disagree with you on one part of that. We have a lot of adults that have no wisdom.
Well, that's true. That's very true. I did want to also mention the thing about the young woman who was sentenced to, was it 10 years for the shooting of
Amber Geiger. Yeah, that's what I'm about to talk about. What do you think?
If I had been on that jury, I guarantee you it would have been hung because there's no way I would have convicted her.
Well, now that's interesting, Ellen, because just tell me about that, because, I mean, I believe it was a mistake. I really do. I don't believe that, you know, that she meant to. I don't know how you accidentally walk into the wrong to the wrong apartment. But the fact of the matter is that she walked into somebody else's apartment, pulled the trigger, and took an innocent man's life. So I'm really curious. You got me interested. What? Why would you not vote to convict her?
Well, have you ever heard the acronym HALT, H-A-L-T?
No.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Okay.
How would anybody feel after working, what was it, 13 and a half hours? Maybe she was pissed off that she had to work that long.
Well, that could be, but the man who was murdered was just literally sitting in his apartment watching TV. I mean, isn't there, well, don't we have to have some justice that you still have to be responsible for your actions? And she took an innocent man's life.
I guess I feel as if we should give her the benefit of the doubt. Who goes around walking into people's apartments and shooting them?
Right.
That cannot have been her plan.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I think she was not in her right mind after having worked so many hours. Who knows when she last ate? She had this situation, apparently, was it her partner she was having an affair with?
I don't know.
She's lonely, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I just could have never convicted her. I just can't believe she had a plan. It was a big mistake. It was a horrible mistake.
Yeah. Okay, Ellen, I agree with you on the first story, the transgender story. I just disagree with you on this one, but thank you so much for the phone call. All right, what do you think? Ellen says there's no way I could have convicted her. 800-925-1120. I believe I'd have been one of the votes to convict. And so what's happening right now is I'm looking at one of the news stations from Dallas-Fort Worth, their local NBC station down there. Amber Geiger's lawyers file intent to appeal murder conviction. So lawyers representing convicted murderer and former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger have filed the intent to appeal. Not the sentence, but they're appealing the entire conviction. Now remember, she was sentenced to 10 years in jail for fatally shooting her neighbor, Botham Jean. And this was that story, in case the names aren't meaning anything to you. This is the one where Botham Jean's brother from the stand says, "We forgive you. We want the best for you. We want justice." And he asked the judge if he could hug the woman who killed his brother. And then he embraced her in the courtroom. You could see the judge kind of wiping away tears. And still, she got a 10-year sentence. Here's what's not in dispute, is that she walked into Botham Jean's apartment, not hers. She says she thought it was hers. Maybe it was because of all these factors that Ellen was just talking about. I don't know. She was probably tired. I still don't know how you could walk into another home, look around, and not see that it's not your home. But anyway, Botham Jean was sitting in his apartment watching television. I think somebody even said he was just sitting there eating ice cream. And she walks in and shoots him, kills him in the middle of his own apartment. Was it a mistake? Yeah. Did she intend to go in, to Ellen's point? Did she intend to go in and say, "I'm going to go kill a guy"? No, I don't believe for a second that she did. However, as a matter of justice, I think she had to be convicted of murder, because a man's life was taken unjustly. He was an innocent man. He was sitting there. So while she may be a sympathetic character, she may be a sympathetic defendant, I understand that completely. For justice, she has to be accountable for it. And that doesn't even have anything to do with her being a police officer. Anybody who makes a terrible mistake, and I understand that she's going to live with it the rest of her life, and I sincerely believe from what I saw that she truly is crushed and she feels awful by this, and she doesn't want to do 10 years in prison. I honestly think she should have probably done a little more in prison. I was surprised that they gave her 10 years. I thought because of her position as a police officer that she was going to get off a little easier. I think she should have been happy with 10 years, because the reality is a 10-year sentence means about 7 years in prison, 6-7 years in prison, something like that. Unless she was given no possibility of parole until 10 years. I don't know. But it comes down to, I'm looking at it from the victims and their family's perspective. And if somebody says, yeah, but there's all these factors, you know, she could have been hungry, she was exhausted, she was all these things. If it's my family member, I say, sorry, you were feeling that way at the time, but you took something away from me that should have never been taken away. A brother, a father, a cousin, a friend, a dad, whatever the case is. All right. 800-925-1120. I don't know why something about this case got me a little worked up. I don't know what it is. Give me a call, Larry, if you want to hang on. You will be up first. Would you have voted to convict her? But how about this? What do you make of finding out that she now wants to appeal the conviction and wants to get away from the sentence? I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Ryan Recker here on America Overnight America on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Looks like we're going to have round two of one of the most emotional criminal cases that the country's had in a while. Amber Geiger, the former Dallas police officer who shot and killed a man named Botham Jean, and this happened in Dallas. She was convicted. She admits to killing him, admits he did nothing wrong, and now her lawyers say, we're going to appeal. My name is Mike Ferguson. I'm in for Ryan tonight. The number here, 800-925-1120. It is 24 minutes until the top of the hour. So I'm looking at the news website in Dallas, their NBC station, which is NBCDFW.com. And so this is the case, I'm sure you remember, because it was so emotional. And the family of the victim, the family of Botham Jean, showed so much class, so much dignity, so much forgiveness, and dare I say it on a radio station, so much Christian ethos, that they really set an example of how to treat somebody who had wronged you. They never said, let Amber Geiger off the hook for what she did, but they said, we forgive you. You still have to be accountable. But they did everything the preacher tells you we're supposed to do on Sunday, but none of us actually do it. I could not do it. These people are clearly more forgiving and probably better people than me. The victim's brother hugs her in the courtroom. Yeah, that case. Well, now it comes out today that her lawyers are saying, we're going to appeal. She got sentenced to 10 years for shooting a man in the middle of his home accidentally. Sure, I'll buy that. But she walked in to somebody else's home, pulled the trigger, killed the man. We had Ellen call in just a little bit ago. And again, thanks, Ellen, even though I disagree with you, I appreciate the phone call, saying that she just could not have voted to convict her because she was exhausted and she had some things going on and she just wasn't in good judgment. But we have to hold people accountable. Unless you're defending yourself, you have to. To me, it doesn't even matter that she was a police officer. She walked into an innocent man's home and killed him, which is why the sentence was only 10 years. All right, let's go the phone lines here. 800-925-1120. Got a couple of lines open for you, but right now let's start with Larry in Missouri. Hey, Larry, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Well, I don't know. Drunken driving, you had a bad day. They've been charged with murder before. If a child is pregnant, or the woman's pregnant, lives with a child. And that's no excuse that you had a bad day.
Yeah.
To read it in. Right, I agree with the sentence. No less.
Yeah, I totally agree. Appreciate the phone call there, Larry. I think what he's saying is regardless of her being exhausted or whatever the case is, she still has to be accountable, and I totally agree. All right, Mark is calling from Pennsylvania. Hey, Mark, you are on Overnight America. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm driving home from work, and I just listened to this lady, Ellen, speaking about this subject. Is she some sort of racist or something? That she's talking about she would have acquit the person. You know, I mean, the officer walked in somebody's home and killed them in their own home. And she's going to talk about, well, maybe she was tired or something.
Yeah.
Who thinks like that?
Well,
was she a Trump supporter or something?
I don't
understand.
I don't think this has anything to do with the Trump situation. But, I mean, Mark, you're absolutely right. As far as here's what's not in dispute. She walked into somebody else's home, and I'm even willing to say, okay, she was confused or whatever. That doesn't matter to me. What everybody agrees by her own admission, She walked into somebody else's home and shot a man who was just watching television. So to me, the Trump stuff, I mean, let's not bring something in that doesn't have anything to do with it. I think Ellen was wrong, and I said that too, but it's all about the victim and their family. This is about justice to me. This isn't about if I'm sympathetic to Amber Geiger or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand that, but I'm thinking that somebody that would have no regard for someone being killed innocently, and they're thinking, oh, well, she was tired.
Right.
Who thinks like that? Who would be that unfeeling to think something like that? I don't understand people in America thinking that way.
Yeah, I don't.
She sounded like she was an elderly person. I'm like, where do you get this kind of thinking? I don't understand it.
Well, I agree with you, Mark. I mean, this was a matter of the 10-year sentence to me was kind of light. I frankly thought she was going to get a lighter sentence just because she was very sympathetic and she was a police officer. She was clearly remorseful, but I kind of thought she should have, well, not kind of thought, I think, Mark, she should have gotten a longer sentence. I agree. It's not first degree murder. She didn't go in and intend it. I get that, but in fact,
I understand that.
Yeah, but she still has to account. She has to be held accountable and pay for what she did. Even if she's sorry, you still have to pay for it.
As we all do.
Hey,
yeah. Well, thank you for me. You know, I'd like to, you know, it disturbed me so much to hear someone say that over the radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially as divided as this country is, as it is anyway.
Well, that's what shows like this are for, man.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate the let me air this up.
You got it, Mark.
Thank
appreciate you.
You
calling. Thanks for calling in. Be safe out there. All right, 800-925-1120. And, you know, I understand that a lawyer has a job to do, and you don't want your client to spend any more time in prison than you have to. And I don't even necessarily get mad at the lawyers on this. If we don't have a vigorous defense, we don't really have a criminal justice system. So I get that. Everybody hates lawyers until you need a lawyer. I understand how that goes. But Amber Geiger had to sign off on this, or she had to go and say, I don't want to do 10 years in prison. I don't know, you know, who initiated what. That's none of my business. But the fact of the matter is Amber Geiger is asking for an appeal, which she has a right to do. She's going to likely have to sit in jail while she's going through the appeals process, but she's got a right to appeal her conviction. I just don't understand why she shouldn't simply be appreciative of the fact that she only got 10 years. And the reality is she may very well be out of prison in 6, 7, 8 years. You get time off for good behavior. You know, a full year of a sentence isn't necessarily a full calendar year. You know, she may be deemed that she's not a threat to society anymore. A lot of things. But I'm disappointed to see that she is appealing, because now we're going to go through this whole thing. And I almost guarantee you that the narrative is not going to be the same, that it is going to be more vitriolic, that there's going to be something added in to the defense that's going to try to impugn somebody else. If there is a hint of victim blaming at all, look for this thing to get kind of ugly. I really hope it's not the case. Maybe they're just trying to get leverage to get a lighter sentence. I don't know, but we'll find out. All right, still got time to get your calls this hour. 800-925-1120. Bob, you want to hang on? We will get your call first, and then you can go ahead and give me a call and get in line. My name is Mike Ferguson. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
You're about to hear a lot more about Amber Geiger's trial. You may say, but wait a minute, Mike, she was already convicted. Yeah, she was. You're about to say, but Mike, she acknowledged that she killed an innocent man. You're right, she did. But Mike, the family has already been able to put closure on what happened with a conviction. Yeah, you're right. But that's being taken away from them too, probably. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. Amber Geiger, the former Dallas police officer who killed a man, Botham Jean, in his living room because she mistook his apartment for hers, which I don't know how that happens, but okay. Yeah, I guess it happens. She was convicted. She got 10-year sentence. She clearly murdered the man. She didn't do it premeditatively. I believe that. I believe it was a mistake. She may have been exhausted. She may have been drinking. I don't know what. But so much of the debate that happened at the time was people who sympathized with her because she clearly was, is clearly very remorseful. But the family of Botham Jean, I think, kept the whole country calm, because any case like this involving a police officer, and when you consider the fact that it's a white police officer and a black victim, although I don't think that was a factor in this case, this could have been another eruption of protest and who knows what. And Botham Jean's family showed such dignity and such leadership that I truly believe that they kept the country, if not Dallas for sure, calm and safe. But now Amber Guyger is appealing the conviction. This just doesn't sit right with me. Bob, thanks for holding. Bob's in Missouri. You're on KMOX.
Yes, sir. This is Mike, right?
Yes, it is.
Sitting with Ryan.
Yeah.
I have a theory.
Okay.
It's out there, but it might be true. I think that she had a connection with this guy, and that somehow things went bad with him and her, and she got really mad, and she decided to go up there and confront him, and something went bad, and I think that maybe she decided to pull her gun out and shoot him. He can't speak anymore for himself, and all we have is her thing that she was tired and she went up there and thought it was this and that. I don't have any problem with her getting 10 years. I think that maybe she did it on purpose, and maybe they had a thing going and something happened with the relationship, and she decided to go up there and take care of it. It's a theory.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call. I mean, I don't know how to answer it. It's a theory. Thank you for calling. If that's the case, then she should be really thrilled with a 10-year sentence. But again, I don't know that there was any evidence to indicate anything other than she just shot and killed a stranger who was innocent on the sofa in his apartment. That's what I'm going off on, because that's the evidence that everybody, both sides, agreed to. Let's go to Bill. And Bill is also in Missouri. You are on KMOX.
Yes. I really do feel that if you go see more.
I'm going to put you back on hold right there, Bill. Let's get you. Your phone is cutting in and out, so we'll see if we can get that stronger signal right there and get you. I want to get your thoughts on that, but as of right now, we're just having a little trouble hearing you. The number here is 800-925-1120. And the thing is that during this entire trial, it was really easy to sympathize with Amber Guyger. It really was. It's not that you didn't want her to be held accountable. You didn't want justice. This is one of those weird cases where you could have both at the same time. Both could be true. The death of an innocent man demands justice. At the same time, we really feel bad about the person who clearly made a terrible mistake, the theory that we had called in notwithstanding. But now I'm less sympathetic to Amber Guyger. And if you disagree, that's fine. Give me a call. I am open to all different perspectives on this, but I was really surprised when I saw the news that she's appealing the verdict. Not that she's just asking for a different sentence, which I would have been, I think, annoyed with as well, just because I've just got this sense of that's not right. I think she should be really happy with 10 years. Even the family of Botham Jean said, yeah, that's a light sentence. But they set an example for everybody with their forgiveness and saying that they loved her in a Christian way, wanting to hug her, wishing her well, but they still wanted justice. They did everything right from the stands, from the witness stand, and from the perspective of talking, you know, what they said in the media and the behavior that they showed. now they're going to be put through this again and have the entire court system evaluate how much their sons or their brothers or their cousins or whatever the relationship, how much that man's life is worth. And I don't think that's justice. Let's go back to the phone kind. Is this Ross? Roz. Okay, Roz, I've only got about 30 seconds for you, so what do you think?
I agree with the caller, two callers before that said there was something going on between them, and I go so far as saying she had a thing for him, but he wasn't really into her. And I think that I've said it ever since I first heard it on the news.
Okay. Well, Roz, I appreciate that. We got to get to the news here in just a second, so I'm not going to be able to talk to you any longer. But I do think, okay, so two people saying, well, this could have happened. If that's what happened, good God, she should be thrilled with a 10-year sentence. If that's what happens and she's appealing it, if they find out that there's something like that that happens, and I have absolutely no evidence whatsoever, but this is why I question whether there was anything about that, because if this comes to light, then, hey, she's looking at 30 to life. Because then it becomes premeditated. If that's what happened, though, this is why I don't think that theory makes a lot of logical sense. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But if you take a first-degree murder and you get a second-degree murder and you go from possibly life to 10 years, shut your mouth and keep going. But I just don't see any evidence that's the case. But listen, I'm open to all the opinions on it. 800-925-1120. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. This is Overnight America right here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.